You guys, I always grew up thinking that pleasures, things that I enjoy, was Satan's territory. I thought that on God's side was the righteousness and the laws and the good things and all that stuff I should be doing, but the stuff I like doing was on Satan's territory. And nothing could be further from the truth. Actually, pleasures are all from God. Pleasures, anything you enjoy, has been created by God, okay? And it's no other area of life more relevant to us as Americans who are notorious chasers of pleasure than this topic right here. Guys, we're called to use wisdom regarding the things that God has given us because that He's created for us to enjoy. See, guys, things that are pleasurable are gifts from God. They really are. Psalm 16:11 says this, "You have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Eternal pleasures at your right hand. In other words, everything that you enjoy, God has given to you, okay? The problem is, He has called us to use wisdom in these things that we enjoy, okay? Because there are a lot of dangers in pleasure. The first one is called the hedonistic paradox. Now, hedonism is simply the life philosophy that says, I'm going to do whatever makes me feel good at the moment. Whatever I want to do, whatever will make me the happiest, whatever will satisfy me the most is what I am going to do. That's hedonism, okay? Well, the hedonistic paradox is the more you pursue this pleasure, the less return you get. Take a hamburger. You eat a hamburger. Oh, it's so good. Big, juicy hamburger from Red Robin, you know? And you go back the next day, and the next day. What happens after about 2 weeks? You don't even want to look at hamburgers anymore, okay? It does not give you the same amount of pleasure. That's the hedonistic paradox. The more you go after pleasure, the less you actually receive. The second danger is that chasing pleasures and everything, we begin to need them, we begin to seek after them, and we become addicted to them, okay? An addiction is basically something that you have to have in order to feel normal, okay? Chasing pleasure leads to addictions, but the third is the most important thing. It leads to idolatry. Now, idolatry is a spiritual condition where you simply love something more than you love God, okay? That's what idolatry is. When something in your life is more important than God, you have an idol problem, okay? Now, Satan's perfect work is the drug addict, okay? This is why, okay? Someone takes a shot of Coke, okay? Makes them feel amazing, okay? So they say, this is great, I'm going to do this again. What happens the next time they do it? Doesn't give them quite as much, okay? Your tolerance begins to build up. So you have to take more and more and more, okay? The hedonistic paradox is in full effect, and that is Satan loves it. Satan does not want you to enjoy anything, nothing. He'll put up with the pleasure that you have in these things so that he can get you to the next stage. But he does not want you to have fun at all. He does not want you to enjoy anything. Nothing makes Satan more upset than God's people enjoying things. Okay? Let's get that straight. So, after the coke addict, he has a tolerance, builds up a tolerance. The next step is that he is addicted to it. Now, a drug addict, you guys, does not enjoy the drug. Did you know that? He gets absolutely no pleasure from the drug. The only reason a drug addict takes a drug is because when he's off the drug, he feels so low, he is in so much pain, and his body is craving it so much that he takes it just to feel normal. It's like you and I on a normal day, okay? That is what a drug addict takes a drug for. That's when addiction is full blown, where he gets absolutely no pleasure whatsoever, and that's what Satan wants. And the third step is the idol phase, where because the drug addict needs this drug, his thoughts are always on the drug. His thoughts about this drug consumes him. He spends all his money, spends all his time. It wrecks his family. It wrecks his work. All those things are what happens, and that is why it is Satan's perfect work. Satan's perfect work is the drug addict. Do you guys see how the danger and pleasure got that person where he was? Satan's perfect work is the drug addict, or the food addict, or the sports addict, or the sex addict, or fill in the blank. Guys, we are called to use wisdom regarding pleasures, and if you have any of these things in your life, if you experience a hedonistic paradox, if you are dealing with an addiction, or you are dealing with idolatry, here's some wisdom in dealing with pleasures, okay? Check this out. The key to maximizing pleasure is to keep it in the context God designed it for, okay? Guys, God created all the pleasures. We already talked about that. Satan has nothing. He has not created one thing. Nothing. And God has designed a context for each pleasure for your maximum enjoyment, okay? For you to fully enjoy the pleasure that he's created for you. He said, this is where I want you to use it, okay? What Satan does, Satan takes the pleasure that God created, and he takes it all the way over here outside of the context, as far away from the context that God designed it for, and that's the way the hedonistic paradox and the addictions and the idolatry come into play. And that's when pleasures become sins. But God has designed this context over here for you to have maximum enjoyment of it. Let's just take food for example. We enjoy food. I love food. Our culture enjoys food. It tastes good, smells good, it's wonderful, very pleasing. And God has designed food to nourish us, for the family to sit around a table and eat together and for it to be enjoyed. So Satan takes the food. He takes it over here, and he says, eat more than you need. Eat stuff that's bad for you. Have it consume your life. Destroy your body with it. That is, he's taken the pleasure and turned it into gluttony. Okay? So let's think about it, you guys. Have you ever experienced a hedonistic paradox when it comes to food? Certain things just don't satisfy you anymore. Are you addicted to food? How much of your life is dominated by what you eat? Have you structured your entire day around what you eat? How much of your time at work is spent thinking about where you're going to go eat? Does the concept of fasting for a day or two or three is so far outside the confines of what is normal that it's to be absurd in your life? Are you that addicted? Is food an idol to you? If so, you've not kept it in the context God wants you to keep it in. Let's take sex. Married men and women, have you kept the sex within the context that God has designed it for, where you get maximum pleasure? That's within marriage. Because what Satan does, Satan takes sex outside of marriage and puts it all the way over here and says, this is what you need to do. You need to be on the internet. You need to be looking at porn, couples that are not married. You need to be having sex. You need to be living together. That's what, and that's the way we become addicted. Think about it, guys. How many of you married men have taken your healthy sex drive outside of the context of marriage? Affairs, pornography, things like that. That is the way Satan works. It's God's pleasure that Satan has removed from that context. Married men and women. I heard a wise man say one time that Satan does everything he can to get a couple that's not married to have sex. And he does everything he can to get a married couple to stop having it. It's very true. And that's the way he works on us. So the key to maximizing pleasure is to keep it within the context God designed it for. Okay? We see that with alcohol. Yes. Some people find a lot of pleasure in alcohol. So what does Satan do? He takes that which God created, alcohol, and removes it all the way over here and says, you need this, become an alcoholic. So I want you guys to take stock of the things in life that you enjoy. Are they within the context that God designed them for? If not, not only are you committing sin, but you're not having the maximum amount of pleasure. Second thing. Using wisdom regarding pleasure. Realize that God has given you this for no other reason than for you to enjoy. God did not have to give us taste buds. He did not have to make sex pleasurable. He did not have to give us a gift, the gift of friendship, the things we enjoy. He did not do it. What does God get out of me enjoying a hamburger? Nothing. Nothing's in it for him. He simply gave it to me so that I could enjoy it, and you too. So a lot of you guys are going to be going out to eat, after church. When that waitress or the waiter serves you that food and it smells good and it looks good and it tastes good, why don't you say, thanks, God? Thanks. You didn't have to make this taste good. You didn't have to let me enjoy this, but you did. Simply because you love me. It becomes an act of worship. The things we enjoy, kept in the right context, become acts of worship to God. And we thank him for that. And the last thing, never allow the pleasure to replace the giver of that pleasure. The very first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, is in full effect here. What is the most likely to become gods in our lives? Isn't it the things we enjoy? You shall have no other gods before me. Proverbs 25:16. If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it, and you'll vomit. In Jesus' name. Amen.